Last Sunday we saw in Genesis chapter 18, God that blesses people who are in relationship with him. And we, a particular picture is Abraham, whom God actually made known his intentions against the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was pointed that it was as a result of relationship. And when we look at relationship, it was described in that context as a blessing. For God to come down low, and he had to relate what he wanted to do to Abraham. So it's not actually God that is full of judgment as some people might perceive it in Old Testament understanding. It's equally God of mercy. It's equally God who wants people to come to terms with him. And that was why we look at the dialogue he had with Abraham. I might call it the prayer, Abraham asking God, if I will find 50, will you spare them? Are you going to destroy the righteous and the sinners together? And God took him and he was patient with him. Not even when he got to 10 was any righteous man found in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I think the message pointed equally to God that we judge, and God who was about to judge the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. When I was reading that text, I saw how God was actually patient and trying to find a way to navigate if there could be a way the people of Sodom and Gomorrah would be spared. He came down. He sent the two angels. He waited. Dialoguing with Abraham, the two angels went to confirm so that his action will be just. So we are looking at God who is a just judge, and God who will judge all of us justly. When they got to Sodom, one thing they found was Lot, who was at the gate of the city. I would read it this way: the prayer of Abraham actually prompted Lot to be where he was. That's my own assumption. And I will equally read it this way: I've understood in the life of these good people, they were always conscious of offering hospitality to strangers. Abraham did it in the previous readings we've had few weeks. Now, Lot is exhibiting the same attitude. He saw them. He knew they were tired. He wanted to offer them hospitality. And as a result of that, himself and his family were spared on the wrath of God upon the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a proof of exceptional behavior amongst the people of Sodom as well. So God confirmed that Lot was worthy to be spared. Then if we go, as we went on the reading we've just read, we saw that the people actually, they were evil, they were vile, utterly bad. They wanted to do something that is unspeakable, if there is any word like that. So that made God to confirm what he wanted to do. A just God, the Lord that judges justly. I won't go into details what really transpired, what they wanted to do, but I understood that even when the angels struck them blind, they were still in their blindness, forcing to fulfill their ugly mission. So their heart is completely on with evil. And God saw that, and he moved immediately and said, of course I have confirmed this land, not only the people, even the vegetation were to be utterly destroyed. They were all contaminated. God of justice, Then, reading that very text, even Lord, I saw the grace of God being displayed in the life of Lord. He was hesitant. He didn't want to move immediately. There were some distractions. Probably he was human. It's being human. Probably the beauty of Sodom and Gomorrah he enjoyed, his comfort. Or the sons-in-laws who never wanted to go with him. He had heard that the Lord has spoken. He wants to destroy. He has to leave immediately. But he was a kind of not ready to move. The grace pulled him out. The message there is actually, it's not just because of the righteousness of Lord. It's because of the grace of God, which has been in existence even before Christ came, in a sense. The grace, I think, Abraham found in the sight of God, extended to the life of Lot. Abraham, we know, he was uncle to Lot. That same grace transferred to Lot, got to even the sons-in-laws, whom we didn't know what their characters were. Of course, we can prove it. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to receive the message. That shows where their minds were. They took the grace for granted. And Lot now moved. The Lord pulled, the angels pulled Lot and the family out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Another character, Lot's wife. The grace found her out. She escaped the judgment. They were already almost on the plain. She looked back, disobeying the command of God. That simple commandment, do not look back. She looked back and she turned to be a pillar of salt. Sulfur rained down on the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Utterly they became salt. And God proving his just character, the same punishment was meted on Lot's wife herself. She became a pillar of salt. What are we to learn from all these stories? In Christ Jesus, through that single act of dying at the cross of Calvary, when we were all sinners, according to Romans chapter 8, Christ died for us. We all been saved as we confess him as our Lord and personal Savior. We are saved. We are in the same place where Saul, Lot, and the family were. Not because of their good works, but just because of the grace of God. Now we are saved not because of what we have done. It's just because of what Jesus has done for us. But that salvation is an unworked thing. And it's a personal thing. It's a personal journey. Just like in the life of the family of Lot himself. That narrative is clear. Now they are on the plane. You are on your own. Do not look back. Then the grace that was upon Lot's wife, she took it for granted again, just like those two sons-in-law, and she looked back. The judgment of God fell upon her. Jesus has redeemed us through his blood. When we were still sinners, we never did anything, he saved us. And he now allows us, just like that woman, caught in this sin of adultery, adulterous woman per se. What Jesus told her, go, your sins are forgiven. Sin no more. And I think he added something. When you do that, a greater thing will be. What you suffered, we are going to suffer, is going to be greater than what you have suffered. So, we are saved. We are not just, Jesus is pointing to judgment. It is clear that one day the Lord will judge the world. Even the Christians, we will be judged according to our works. The grace is speaking on us, but we are asked to continue to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We are not called to look back to where Jesus has redeemed us from, just like Lot's wife did. What are those things that we have been set free from through the death of Christ at the cross of Calvary? Those things we struggle with. Our mind and conscience always tells us that they are not right. Those things Bible tells us not to do. Just like the command God gave to the family of Lot. Do not look back. There are commands in this holy book which we should not do. And there are ways that seems very good unto men, but the end is destruction. But there are ways we are called to look unto. And when we look unto that, that grace will continue to take us to that final place where we will be with the Lord in eternity. And condemnation will not be ours. God will definitely judge the world, just as he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Our conduct would be reviewed by the end of our journey here on earth. Jesus selflessly has given her life, his life for us. We are called not to look back. Let us not take the grace of God for granted. Let us hang on to that grace. Continue to look unto him. His blessings are sure, just as it was hinted. Relationship with God is all about blessing. In that relationship, there are a lot of goodies in it. And one of those goodies is what we are going to experience this morning. Today is a special service, special in the sense that it's a time we dine with the Lord. And it's a time of healing. He who comes to the Lord, every burden in your life is sure to be lifted. And again, healing starts from that very table where Christ poured out completely his blood for our redemption. Redemption is all about life in its totality. I use the word in a holistic sense. He says you will have life and have it in abundance. And that was what Jesus did for us at the cross of Calvary. And in a moment we have seen the narrative about that in our gospel reading. That Jairus' daughter. The only thing we need this morning as we come forward, even to be part of that table, or if we are moved to be prayed for, or to be anointed as the Spirit of God leads you, is to prepare our mind and have faith just like Jairus did. That the Lord is here to touch us. He desires we are in a good relationship with him, just like Abraham, to cut off every hands of the devil, to cut off all those burdens in our life. When we talk about healing, it's not all about physical sickness. There are things other people, they do not see about our life. We struggle with. But God knows that. God is about to do something in our life as we openly open our heart to him, for him to touch us. God will definitely judge the conduct of this world, just as he did during the days of Lot in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the good news is that his grace is sufficient for us. But we still need to continue to look unto Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Let us pray. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world revered and was to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You are my all, you are the best, you are my joy, my righteousness. and I love you, Lord. Father, this is our prayer this morning. May this hymn continue to radiate in our lives as we look unto your second coming through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.